your scriptures and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. We're going to be continuing our series this morning, More Than Conquerors. And today's message is Warfare Prayer Part 2. Warfare Prayer Part 2. You know, earlier this year, North Korea conducted several test launches of intercontinental ballistic missiles capable of carrying a nuclear warhead and reaching even the east coast of the United States. Well, in response, the United States conducted a test of its missile defense system, firing an intercontinental ballistic missile, or an ICBM, from an island in the Pacific, and then launching what is referred to as a kill vehicle from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. And the kill vehicle successfully intercepted the ICBM on the first live fire test and destroyed it over the Pacific. Representative Mike Rogers from Alabama, chairman of the House Armed Force Strategic Committee, said that this successful test launch will help deter U.S. adversaries. In essence, it was a message to our adversaries, and in particular North Korea, to say, don't mess with the United States because you can't win. You know, prayer works much the same way that this missile defense system works, intercepting and rendering the enemy's attacks powerless. And this is why Paul concludes his teaching on spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6 with a command to pray. Read with me, if you will, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, or when the attack, the trial, the test comes against your life, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whatever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And in this passage, Paul tells us, as we have seen, that we are at war against the spiritual forces of darkness that are at work in the world, and that we need to be ready for battle at all times. And he culminates his teaching on spiritual warfare in this passage with a command to pray. And prayer is not primarily a means for us to get our needs met, even though that's included and God invites us to make our needs known unto him. Prayer is not primarily a means of supplying comforts to our life or blessings to our life. It's for spiritual combat. Prayer is not just about living a carefree life with all of our needs met. It's about defeating and driving back the forces of darkness. Prayer is not about personal advancement. It's about advancing the purpose of God in this world. Satan doesn't care so much about you personally. Satan is at war against God and everything that belongs to God. Satan wants to stop the purpose of God in this world. And when an enemy force goes to war, their goal is not to kill the foot soldier. They don't have anything against the foot soldier, even though in the war, many foot soldiers will be killed. But the aim of the enemy force is to defeat the nation that those foot soldiers represent. And so it is in this spiritual battle. We are the foot soldiers of the army of God. Satan doesn't really have anything against you personally, but he has something against God. He's at war with God, and so he attacks us because we represent God. So he harasses and oppresses Christians to hinder the purpose of God by knocking the foot soldier, knocking us out of the battle. Satan's goal is to weaken and immobilized believers with so many problems and with so many afflictions and with so many trials that he can keep us from doing the work of the Lord and stop the church from advancing God's mission in the world. Even at the time that Paul wrote this, Paul was being afflicted by the enemy. Paul was in prison, and Satan was trying to knock him out of the battle. So Paul asked that believers would pray for him, that he will keep on preaching the gospel fearlessly. Paul understood the vital importance of prayer in spiritual warfare to advance the purpose of God. We apply the armor through prayer. We spoke about that last week. We put on the belt of truth in prayer by standing in faith upon the word of God. We put on the breastplate of righteousness in prayer by coming boldly before God's throne through the righteousness of Christ. We put on the helmet of salvation in prayer by focusing our mind through prayer on Christ and on everything that he has made available to us. We put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace in prayer by holding fast to our faith in the gospel. We are at peace, looking with expectation for the promises of God, for the promises of his help, for the promises of his deliverance. We raise the shield of faith in prayer, exercising our confidence in God and his word by declaring the truth of God's word, declaring the promises of God's word over our lives in battle. We wield the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, in prayer, declaring the word of God and the authority of Christ against the attacks of the enemy. Paul commands us to put on the full armor of God and to pray. And both of these commands, as we saw last week, are in the present tense, which means that they are taking place simultaneously. Prayer is the means by which we put on the armor. Prayer is that which makes the armor effectual against the enemy. Prayer is what enables us to stand firm and to withstand, to resist, to drive back the attacks of the enemy. And prayer is what enables the victory in battle. Now, in our last message, we looked at the vital importance of praying in the Spirit, which Paul specifically used to refer to praying in tongues. And Paul encourages us in 1 Corinthians 14, saying that we are to pray in the Spirit and with the understanding at all times. So he's saying every time you pray, don't just rely upon your mind and upon your words and upon your knowledge to pray, but pray yourself out and then allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you so that he can pray things that you don't know about. He can intercede according to the mind and heart and will of God. So we saw that praying in the Spirit is prayer that is enabled, that is inspired by the Spirit. It's prayer that is empowered by the Spirit. It's prayer that is enlightened or guided by the Spirit to give expression to the will of God through us, transcending our own thoughts, transcending our own knowledge, transcending our own ability to give utterance or to speak the mind and will of God. And Paul directly links praying in the Spirit in Ephesians 6 with the ability to fight and win the spiritual battle. Paul teaches us that warfare prayer requires praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests for all the Lord's people and for our leaders. When he says, and pray for me, it is by representation a call to pray for our spiritual leaders. And so today we're going to learn how to wage war in prayer from Paul's instructions. First of all, we see from his words that warfare prayer is constant. He says that we are to pray at all times, at all times. In Greek, the word is kairos, which means on all occasions or at every opportunity, as opposed to chronos, which speaks of time that is measured by a clock. Chronos is the root, you might recognize it, of our word chronological. And it speaks of time that is measured by a clock. But when Paul says pray at all times, he's using the word kairos, which means to pray on every occasion, to pray at every opportunity. The point is not that we are to be cloistered away in prayer 24 hours a day and not do anything else, because that's not realistic, that's not practical, that's not the way life is. But we must be continually in contact with our commander in chief, because we're either going into battle, or we are in the midst of battle, or we're coming out of battle, and so we need
need to constantly have that communication system in place so that we are in touch with our commander-in-chief so that he can supply to us everything that we need in this battle. Satan never agrees to a ceasefire. He never engages in a peace treaty. The battle is constant, so prayer must also be constant. We need to have a lifestyle characterized by prayer. That's what Paul means when he says that we are to pray at all times. We must pray in preparation for battle. Throughout Scripture, we see examples of how prayer was preparation for battle. In Exodus 14, Moses prayed as he saw the Egyptian army closing in on God's people at the Red Sea. David repeatedly sought God through prayer in preparation for battle. When Saul was trying to capture him, David prayed. Before he engaged the Philistines in battle after their destruction of his hometown of Ziklag, David prayed, "Should I go to battle against them?" David prayed. When the Philistines assembled themselves to attack, When David was being anointed as king, David prayed. Another great example is when King Jehoshaphat heard that a huge army of three combined nations was coming against Jerusalem and preparing to invade. He called for a prayer meeting. He not only prayed, but he called all of God's people to pray. And as a result, God assured them, saying, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." And God told them how to fight the enemy. God told them to put the praisers out front, and that's exactly what they did. And God gave them this battle strategy that didn't make any sense to our rational thinking. But God's ways are not our ways. And when they put the praisers out ahead of the army, God told them to take their positions and stand, and they would not need to fight because it was his battle. And God delivered them. God set ambushments against the enemy. The enemy got so confused that they turned on one another and they started killing each other until their entire army, their entire force was annihilated. And the Israelites came in and just took the spoils of battle, the wealth, the supplies that were left behind. They prayed in preparation for battle. Praying before the battle, praying at a time of peace because we know battle is coming, is what prepares us for battle and what ensures the victory when we are in battle. Praying before the battle strengthens the lines of communication with our commander-in-chief, because that communication is our lifeline in the time of battle. If we don't know how to pray, if we're not trained in prayer in the time of peace, when things are going well, we certainly will not know how to pray in the time of attack. So praying before the battle, it strengthens the lines of communication with our commander-in-chief. Praying before the battle encourages our faith so that we are spiritually strong to be able to stand in the day of battle. Some time ago, the National Geographic ran an article about the Alaskan bull moose. And the males battle for dominance during the fall breeding season. And literally, they go head to head with antlers crunching against one another as they collide. And often the antlers, their only weapon, are broken. And when their antlers are broken, that ensures defeat. The heftiest moose with the strongest antlers triumphs. So the battle fought in the fall is really won during the summer, when the moose eat continually. The one that consumes the best diet for growing antlers and gaining weight will be the heavyweight in the fight and will win. Those that eat inadequately during the summer have weaker antlers and less bulk, and they are not ready in the fall for the time of battle. And so when the battle comes, their antlers break and they lose. They are defeated. You see, what this teaches us is that the time to prepare for battle is before the battle starts. The time to pray is before the enemy attacks. If not, like the moose that didn't eat adequately in the summer, we will be weak and we will be easily defeated. We must pray before
the battle starts. And we must pray for strength in the battle. As we've seen, prayer is our supply line on the battlefront. It's the link between us and God that avails all of us of what we need in the time of battle. Through prayer, we receive supernatural support. We receive spiritual reinforcement. We receive renewed strength. We receive the vitality of God's Spirit in us and everything else that we need to overcome in the battle. When we pray in the midst of battle, we are strengthened with the power of His might so that we are able to stand strong and withstand the attack of the enemy. You might remember the story of when the Israelites were attacked by the Amalekites in the wilderness, when they were journeying in the wilderness to the promised land. And Moses went up on the mountain to pray. And as the battle raged in the valley below, Moses would have his hands upraised. And as long as his hands were upraised in intercession, then Israel would prevail. But when he became tired and his arms grew weary and his arms fell, then the enemy would prevail. So Aaron and Hur came alongside of Moses to support his arms, and God gave Israel the victory. You see, what Moses was doing is he was interceding. He was praying in the midst of battle for God to give Israel what they needed to be victorious. In the midst of battle, the flesh may grow weary. And you may not feel like praying, just as Moses' arms became weary. The enemy wants to keep you from praying because he knows that it is through prayer that the victory comes. But you must press through that weariness. Oh, yes. You must press through that feeling under attack that you don't feel like praying. You must press through, and you must even bind together with others and pray through to the victory. Yes. When we pray in the midst of battle, we are unleashing all of heaven's resources against hell's forces so that we can stand and withstand through the power of His might. Thirdly, we must pray for restoration from battle. We must pray after the battle. You know, in Acts 4, you might remember the story. Peter and John had ministered and healed a lame man at the Gate Beautiful, and then they preached, and over 3,000 men, so a larger crowd than that if you included women and children, came to Christ. And so, 5,000 men, and so it would be about a crowd of about 10,000 came to Christ as a result of their preaching. And this angered the religious leaders, and so they arrested Peter and John, and they had them beaten, and they threatened them never to speak in the name of Jesus again. And finally, they released them. And what was the first thing they did when they released them? They called for a prayer meeting. After the battle, what was the first thing they did? They called for a prayer meeting. And what was the focus of their prayer? They prayed for God to give them great boldness and to stretch forth His hand in miraculous power to heal and to deliver. And the scripture says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. What was this? This was a post-battle prayer. It was a prayer to fortify them, to restore them against the threats that were made towards them. The battle takes it out of you. The battle depletes you. The battle wounds you. The battle drains you in ways that you might not even be aware. You think in your strength that you're just going to power on, but you're not aware of the impacts that the battle has had upon you. And this is why it's so crucial to pray after the battle so that God can replenish your strength and restore your soul. We must pray at all times, before, during, and after battle, so that we can stand strong in the power of His might, and so that we can withstand. Also, warfare prayer, Paul tells us, is comprehensive. Verse 18, he says that we are to pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. So first of all, we must pray with all types of prayer. What is he meaning by that? Well, what are some different types of prayer? Thanksgiving. We must use thanksgiving
to combat discouragement, because that's one of the attacks of the enemy in the time of trial, is to bring discouragement. But if we start thanking God for his blessings, thanking God for the good things in our life, thanking God for the things that he has done and is doing, even if we are under attack, if we can see what God is doing and what God has done, it combats the discouragement that the enemy wants to bring against our soul. We can use, we must use praise. That's another type of prayer. We must use praise. Why? Because praise combats doubt. Yes, because that's what one of the things the enemy wants to do in the time of battle. He wants to bring doubt into our mind, that we doubt that God exists, that we doubt that God loves us, that we doubt that God hears us. Yes. But when we begin to praise God, it focuses our mind back on God. It reminds us of who God is. It magnifies God in our sight. And that's why it's so important that we not, in the time of battle, yes, we need to pray warfare prayers. We need to rebuke the devil. We need to take authority of the devil. Yes, but that's not the only kind of prayer we need to pray. We need to praise so that we remember that we serve a God who is great and mighty, a God who sits upon the throne, a God who does in this earth what he desires to do, and that none can stop his hand. We need to remind ourselves through praise of who God is. We must use confession to combat sin and anything that would hinder our relationship with God. Because sometimes under pressure, the enemy tries to entice us to sin. Entice us to sin in our thoughts. Entice us to sin in our actions. You know, we begin to think, you know, oh, I'm going through so much. I deserve to do this.
Right. Come on, Pastor.
But we need to use confession so that the enemy cannot put any obstacle of sin to separate us from our relationship with God. Because once that obstacle of sin enters in, then we become easy prey for the enemy to defeat us. We must use petition. Petition is asking to have our needs met. We must use petition, calling upon God to meet our needs, to help us. We must use intercession. Intercession is standing in the gap, praying for others, praying for their salvation, praying for their protection, praying for their breakthrough, praying for their strength, praying for their victory. We must pray for others. We must use all of these vital lines of communication available to close off the access to the enemy in our lives and in the lives of those that we care about, in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Use all of these kinds of communication with God. And then we must make supplication. Paul says, in the NIV, it says requests. He says, with all kinds of prayers and requests. The some other translations translate it as supplications. But the word in Greek speaks of specific requests. We need to pray specific, targeted prayers against the enemy's attack. So we need to pray all these other kinds of prayers we talked about, thanksgiving and praise and confession. And we need to pray all those other kinds of prayers. But then we do need to pray those targeted, specific prayers against the enemy's attack. Pray for healing where there's sickness. Pray for strength where there is weakness. Pray for deliverance where there is bondage. Pray for wisdom where there is confusion. Target your prayers against the way that the enemy is working.
Hallelujah.
Wherever you know the need, pray specifically. Target your prayers against the enemy's attack. And then thirdly, Paul tells us that warfare prayer is communal. We are to pray for our fellow soldiers in this battle. You know, there's a terminology that they use in the military, and they say, I've got your six, or I've got your back. And they're protecting one another so that if the enemy comes from the rear, they are protected. And so we have to protect one another in that way. Paul says that we are to pray for all the saints. Now, of course, that doesn't exclude praying for ourselves, but the majority or the bulk of our prayer should be for others. I read something a couple weeks ago, and it said, think about your prayers and how much of your praying is for you and how much of your praying affects others. Because the bulk of our prayer often is focused on ourselves. But we need to pray for others. We need to be alert to the battles faced by our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be alert to the trials that they are going through. And we need to uphold them in prayer. We need to have their six. We need to be vigilant in praying on their behalf. You know, there's a movie that came out a few years ago, called Black Hawk Down. And it was based on the true story of the Battle of Mogadishu in 1993. And it tells of a military helicopter that gets shot down, and the remaining soldiers come to the rescue of those that were taken, those were in the helicopter. They come to their rescue in the face of significant enemy resistance. And the movie portrays the U.S. general stressing on more than one occasion the military motto, "No soldier is to be left behind on the battle." And so they were willing to go to great lengths, undergo great resistance, great firepower by the enemy in order to rescue those soldiers that had been shot down. No soldier left behind on the battlefield. And we need to have that same kind of commitment to one another, to come to the aid of our spiritual brothers and sisters who are under the attack of the enemy. And we need to say, no soldier left behind on the battlefield. We need to pray for one another. We need to uphold one another. We need to intercede for one another. Pray that each other would be strengthened in the power of God's might so that they may be able to withstand and stand. We are also to pray for our leaders in the battle. Paul says in verse 19, pray also for me. He was the spiritual leader, the one who had planted the church at Ephesus. He was a minister called and anointed of God. And if Paul needed prayer, how much more do our spiritual leaders today need prayer? We should pray for those in ministry, for those in leadership, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets. You see, the enemy has a strategy for battle. The enemy targets leaders because he knows that if he strikes the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. So if he can take out a leader, he also takes out a bunch of foot soldiers, a bunch of believers. When a leader is attacked, it affects all of those under their ministry. Now, I remember several years ago, a church in our area, quite a prominent and large church, when the pastor fell, how many people were affected and are still affected today by the failure of that pastor? And some of them not only left the church, but they left their relationship with God. Wow. Some of them that I am personally aware of even went back to a sinful lifestyle as a result of the failure of that pastor. What happened? The enemy had a strategy. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Believers need to cover their leaders in prayer, that God would strengthen them to stand firm and to withstand the attacks of the enemy. And the attacks may come in different ways. You know, I'm so grateful for this church. The enemy attacked my health, and you stood together, and you prayed, and you interceded, and you covered me in prayer, and God has brought me through, and I'm so very grateful for your prayers. The enemy attacks in different ways. He may attack my health. He may attack someone else in a different way. But we need to always cover our leaders in prayer, that they can continue to fearlessly minister the truth of the gospel and advance the work of God's kingdom in our lives, in our church, and in our midst. The Christian poet William Cowper wrote Exhortation to Pray on the subject of the importance of prayer in spiritual warfare. And one verse states, "Restraining prayer, we cease to fight." Basically, if we hold back prayer, if we stop praying, we have stopped fighting. I know he speaks in kind of old English, so that's why I'm kind of interpreting it to our modern vernacular. So, restraining prayer, we cease to fight. If we stop to pray, we stop to fight. Prayer makes the Christian armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Why? Because he knows that prayer is that vital communication line to our commander-in-chief to access all of the resources of heaven to be able to win this battle. And so that's why Satan tries to do everything that he can to stop us from praying. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Church, let's make Satan tremble.
Yes.
Let's commit ourselves to pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayer and supplication for all the saints, for one another, and for our leaders. And when we commit to do that and we carry through and do that on a regular basis, Satan trembles and we set Satan to flight. Satan flees. Let's become a lethal force against the kingdom of darkness. So that like that the U.S. responded to North Korea's threats by using the missile defense system to neutralize an ICBM over the Pacific Ocean to say to North Korea, don't mess with us because you will come out on the losing end. Let's commit ourselves to pray, to make Satan tremble, and to say, don't mess with the people of God because you will come out on the losing end. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And if you're willing to make that commitment today as the worship team comes, I want you to come to this altar and I want you to say, God, today I dedicate myself to praying in the Spirit on all occasions, to warfare prayer for all the saints at all times and for our leaders. And I will not let up because I know Satan will not let up. So I dedicate myself to be a prayer warrior, to be a person who engages in warfare prayer on an ongoing basis for my brothers and sisters in Christ and for my leaders, so that Satan will have no place, Satan will have no power, Satan will have no authority, and Satan will have to flee. The Satan will have to flee from us in Jesus' name. Lift up your voice right now and make that commitment to the Lord from your own heart. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, oh God, and we receive your word today. We receive the call of your Spirit, oh God, to rise up in prayer and engage in this battle through warfare prayer. And we commit ourselves today to truly be prayer warriors, oh God, to pray with all kinds of prayer against the works of darkness, to rise up and pray in the Spirit, allowing your Spirit to make intercession through us so that the forces of darkness can be defeated and your kingdom purposes can be advanced. We commit ourselves to be sensitive to how the enemy is attacking our brothers and sisters in Christ and immediately rally in prayer to uphold them in prayer so that we will have their six, so that we will defend them in prayer, oh God, so that we can all stand together strong and firm and resist the attack of the enemy, and so that we can be victorious and the enemy will tremble and he will have to flee from us in Jesus' mighty name.